all the parties to this stood to profit from this. I'll go more over the chronology in a minute, but down the line, way down the line, in just the last couple of weeks, we learned that ING was a client of Patton Boggs. To answer your question before, we weren't sure what the deal was, but with representing one of the parties involved in the deal, it seems to me we're right in conflict of interest territory rather than potential. And a couple of people who did write about this locally have come to the same conclusion. I think I mentioned an email to you. The reason this all came to light more than 2 years after, 2.5 years after he recused himself on five occasions in June and July of 2009, was that I kept pressing. First of all, some civic associations pressed him to divulge what's the reason for your recusals. He ignored them. I didn't get involved until well over a year ago when I came across the law, which he, as a member of the council and the lawyer, and as a lawyer, should know, which says that when you recuse yourself, you are required to file a written explanation of your recusal with the Board of Elections, the Office of Campaign Finance, and with the council chairman. He did none of those. I mean, I FOIA'd them and got responses saying, no, he didn't file such a statement. So I kept pressing on that particular issue with him, with the then chairman, Vincent Gray, with the Board of Elections, with the Office of Campaign Finance. I did not file an official complaint. I thought people should do their jobs, and their job is to rein in conflicts of interest. And when somebody isn't complying with the law, to make them comply with it. So he never has filed a statement explaining that vote. Finally, after things came to a head, I mean, you know, as I kept sending more and more letters, now to Chairman Kwame Brown and to Jack Evans, copying all members of the council, copying a dozen or so people in the press. Finally, a couple of reporters asked him some questions about it, and Evans managed to produce a general counsel to the council opinion from last April. This is almost 2 years after his recusal, saying he doesn't have a conflict of interest. It started out saying, yes, he's required to file papers with the Office of Campaign Finance, Board of Elections, and the council chairman. But he went through 90% of this this opinion, said, yes, the law says this, yes, the law says this. And then at the very end it says, but in this particular case, you don't have to, because you really don't have a conflict of interest over whether you represented the Marriott Corporation. Now, it was sort of a bait and switch. I mean, a lot of us said, is it the Marriott Corporation? We raised the question because the Examiner newspaper, back when he had recused himself, had a one sentence at the end of the story saying Jack Evans recused himself because his law firm, Patton Boggs, represents the Marriott Corporation. We were never sure of that because we couldn't find anything in public records showing that it was the Marriott Corporation. So we kept mentioning the Marriott Corporation. He goes and gets an opinion saying, I don't have a conflict with the Marriott Corporation. These people are all wet. End of story, right? Well, then one day later, oh yeah, I'm sorry.
But not only that, but then he goes to City Paper and he says to Loose Lips, and let me back up that these letters that you had been filing, finally Mike DeBonis of the Washington Post raises the questions with him, and then City Paper's Loose Lips, Alan Suderman, calls him up, and this is what Evans says to Loose Lips. This is an opportunity I've been waiting for, Evans told Loose Lips yesterday, after DeBonis made an inquiry about Hanrahan's letters, to respond without responding directly to Hanrahan, who I think is a effing idiot. Those are the words of one of the highest elected officials of the District of Columbia directed towards you.
Yeah, no, exactly. That I my only response to him is I think he needs to take a course in anger management and constituent relations. I've seen his body language up on the dais. I still remember during the baseball stadium fight that one of the members was going on and on about something in opposition to the stadium, and he would go like this, like showing, you know, complete disrespect for his own council member. He's, you know, he is the smartest guy in the room, and for God's sake, imagine a constituent questioning him about a conflict of interest matter. So at that point, he was very much feeling, well, I put this behind me. We managed over the next 24 hours, and I wish this had surfaced earlier, came up with an email that he had sent to a constituent back in July of 2009 when these recusals were happening. And he said in that email, and I think maybe you have the language there. I have it here.
Sure, I'll quote from it and get your response. So this is from Jack Evans at dccouncil.us. So this is from his official email address. It happens to be signed Jeff, likely for Jeff Coudray, his late staffer. But it's from his official email address, and it says, quote, I recuse myself from the recent consideration of the financing legislation for the Convention Center Hotel as my law firm, Patton Boggs, represents ING, who are equity partners in the private financing part of the hotel. He goes on to say, until this development in June 2009, I previously did not have a conflict of interest. And those, again, the words from Jack Evans' official website to a D.C. resident in July 22nd, 2009.
Yeah, I mean, and that language, I did not previously have a conflict of interest. He's acknowledging at that point that he had a conflict of interest and therefore recused himself. I should add, he shouldn't have been presiding over the hearing at which you and Dave Maloff testified or at any other proceeding. But he recused himself at that point, but he never filed the written explanation. I think I can only speculate why he responded to that one citizen who said he was troubled as an attorney, and the conflict of interest concerns me, and I've seen this issue raised by some citizens. Why don't you respond the way you're supposed to? And he sent him this private email, which then produced follow-up stories by Mike DeBonis on the Washington Post, his Washington Post blog, and Alan Suderman in his Loose Lips column in the City paper. And I think, as you have noted recently, but nothing in the paper version of the Washington Post, which goes out to some 550,000 homes and offices every day, and most other, I don't know if any other news media in town touched it. I don't believe they did. But the headlines even of those articles were...
Let me read a quote from it, because I think it's important. Yeah. It's a deal that has not gotten much play for so long. In the City paper, October 31st, the headline is, Evans Law Firm Had Ties to Convention Center Hotel Deal After All. And Alan Suderman's Loose Lips writes, Loose Lips is no lawyer, but when the city and developers go in on a deal together like the Convention Center Hotel, and Evans has ties to parties on both sides, that seems at the very least like a potential conflict of interest. But Evans didn't want to debate the issue. I'm giving you my statement, and that's it, he said. And that, again, from City Paper.
Yeah, case closed as far as he's concerned. The law doesn't apply to him. You know, you're just little people out there. I don't understand this sort of attitude. Then the thing is, when you give a statement to a reporter, even though it can come back to haunt you later, it's not the same as filing an official statement as you're required, explaining in writing. Then he's locked in. Right now he's giving self-serving statements to reporters when he has to. He doesn't want to give any statement at all. And obviously when the reporter questions him, he says, that's it. I'm not discussing this. I'm not debating this with you. And that's the end of it, as far as he's concerned. And I think the other reporter also had reached similar kinds of conclusions from this.
Yeah, let me read DeBonis's comment. But first, just to restate, mm-hmm. he is right now in violation of the law, which requires him to file his explanations for his recusals, and he has not done so, despite the fact that his own July 2009 email states that he has a conflict of interest in this deal.
That's right. This is under the D.C. code, under the municipal regulations, under the council's own code of ethics. He is required to do that. This is why I copied and pushed Chairman Brown, who answered one of my emails back in March, which I had copied dozens of people on, and he said, I will look into this matter. This is in March of this year. He's not answered any more of my emails since then. But it's interesting that then the following month, Evans goes and gets this legal opinion from the council and holds on to it for 6 months. Now, as I said, he got it on the basis of Marriott as being his client. And I think any general counsel worth his salt would probably say, well, maybe you should still file a written statement, but you don't have a conflict here. He never asked him about ING. Again, I think as either DeBonis or Suderman wrote at the end, so he got an opinion on a company which he doesn't represent, but didn't get an opinion on a company his law firm represents. It's just astounding to me and at the same time, Peter, you've covered the some of the hearings up there, or the council sessions on ethics, and Evans had some statement along the lines of, when people are required, the thing that will lock people in on is when they're required to file papers, they file them. Or do you have that quote exactly?
It's something I meant like to. That. I forgot to.
He wasn't thinking of his own situation, obviously. He was thinking of people, dealing with lobbyists or something. But, you know, you got to. And so he's one of the people up there who's tried to position himself as being. Well, he's also said, though, the existing ethics laws are fine. Let's just enforce them. I thought, has this man no awareness of what he's being accused of over here? And it's just astounding to me. And the only other mention I'll make of that, of the name calling, is I've never met the man officially. I've been at hearings where I've testified, and he's usually left the room. But I'm sure if he got to know me, he would hate me even more. I mean, I think that's his. But in any event, I've never met him. So I harbor no personal animosity toward him. I want, as a former reporter, I used to report covering the Maryland General Assembly, and they were rife. This is back in the late 60s, early 70s. They were rife with conflicts of interest. I know what a conflict of interest is, or an apparent conflict of interest. I've reported on them before. One legislator who I liked very much actually went and served time because of some articles that I wrote about his conflict of interest between his job and his, between being a legislator and being an attorney on the outside. That all I want Evans to do is to acknowledge his conflicts of interest, and not at the last minute as he has done here. There are other instances in the past that he's been in the same position, and it's very troubling. And it's again an argument that I would make why we need full-time council members, that they can't have outside. He's not the only one in the council who has outside employment. He's the only one at this time that we know of who doesn't follow the law in explaining why he has recused himself.
And one more point before we get to, I want to quote from DeBonis's article in the Washington Post, on the blog, not online. It's the Occupy DC sign. Yep. Almost comes crashing down for a second time. The numbers that we're talking about here, John Hanrahan, this is the Convention Center Hotel, more than $250 million, $272 million in public subsidies.
Yes.
And yet you'll see the press go on and on about much, much smaller numbers for other council members. But here, when we have such massive amounts of public money at stake, there's been, up until these articles, which thanks to your letters and your articles in the mail, there's been just almost no mention of this.
Yeah, that's right. In the I mean, as a reporter, I acknowledge all these other stories are valid. They should be done. If there's questions about the ethics of any council member or the mayor, they should be reported. I would like to see, though, the press look into the with Jack Evans. I don't understand why he gets off the hook on this issue. I've asked once a former reporter. I said, "What is it?" I said, "Is it just that he always gives them a good quote? He always, you know, explains the issue from his standpoint better than anybody else can." And he sort of said, "Well, you know, there's something to that. But I think, as you pointed out, I mean, is it just a question of only certain African-American council members having their problems aired? And I acknowledge they are problems or potential problems, but I don't understand why Jack Evans. There was an earlier one that actually the Washington Times wrote something about, I think probably America's most unread newspaper, but a reporter there did a good story about a lot of conflicts or potential for conflicts on the council and ethical problems. And he mentioned Jack Evans' law firm, which now represents Northrop Grumman. And that was back last year when Northrop Grumman was going to move its headquarters to the Northern Virginia or suburban Maryland. Jack Evans suddenly jumped into the bidding. He wanted to create, or he apparently created a bidding war. At that particular time, Northrop Grumman was a client of Patton Boggs' affiliated company, Bro-Lot. I mean, they referred themselves as strategic partners, I believe. They were negotiating to merge with Patton Boggs at that time. They subsequently did merge with Patton Boggs. Northrop Grumman was their client, and at the time that Evans was pushing subsidies to bring Northrop Grumman to the District of Columbia, and it wasn't just, it was with a fervor to bring them to the District of Columbia. He was saying, he introduced legislation to give them a $25 million in tax abatements or write-offs of some sort, saying, and if Virginia or Maryland offer more, we'll go higher. And then you find out that Northrop Grumman is a Bro-Lot / Patton Boggs client, and this doesn't raise any antenna on any of the reporters, except a year later, the Washington Times wasn't even doing local news there for a year. I get a call from this Washington Times reporter, said, gee, I'm really interested in this Northrop Grumman stuff. And of course, it became moot in a way because Northern Virginia ended up getting the Northrop Grumman headquarters, as was probably going to happen all along. But as even the Post editorialized without chastising Evans, bidding wars are only played at the advantage of the company that wants to move here. We should be considering ourselves as a region. But Evans was with a fervor going after getting a tax breaks for Northrop Grumman. And what it, as I said, what it did is it just made Northern Virginia more anxious to accommodate Northrop Grumman. Again, when I hate to hearken back to old times in the Maryland legislature, but there used to be a procedure there where legislators would introduce a bill, knowing that it stood absolutely no chance of passing, but that they had various lobbyist friends that would have to then come down and bill a lot of hours lobbying the legislature to kill the bill. And then, lo and behold, the bill would be killed. I mean, even if you don't end up with a success, as in the case of Northrop Grumman, you have aided that client by setting off a bidding war. And as I said, I don't know what Northern Virginia was offering originally. I don't know what Northrop Grumman ultimately got. I don't know if they profited from it that much on tax breaks. But Councilmember Evans was doing his damnedest to make sure that they could be in a bidding war. I think he even said in that story, I'm not sure, I didn't know Northrop Grumman was a client. He's told one of these reporters he didn't know who. Patton Boggs is a big firm. I wanted to make sure I didn't have a conflict of interest. That's why I recused myself. Every attorney in that firm, I am confident, gets either by email or in hard copy list of all the clients that they have. Anybody who represents outside clients should know what's on that list, should know when they have a conflict, should be able, and sometimes if you feel you don't have a conflict, as he did in this initially in this Marriott Convention Center Hotel, you get on, you state from the dais, I'm not sure that I have a conflict here, but out of an abundance of caution, I'm recusing myself, and here's why I'm recusing myself, and I will follow up with a letter for the record to the chairman, the Office of Campaign Finance, to the Board of Elections. Simple thing to do. as a council member, you have certain rules that apply to you. You should at least follow those rules, those laws. But as an attorney, I keep stressing, attorneys have an even higher threshold on conflicts of interest to be very careful on these. So on the one hand, if he recuses himself, I say, bravo. Now, what was that recusal all about? And was this done in a timely fashion, or should you have recused yourself a lot earlier? Oh, one thing we haven't touched on, Pete, is having recused himself, he then proceeded to unrecuse himself when the funding went through, plans are going ahead for Marriott and the developers to go ahead with this hotel, and then the deal hits a snag because Marriott gets embroiled in a lawsuit with the JBG Corporation, which the terms of the lawsuit would have affected Marriott's ability to go forward. And so then the Washington Post and Washington Business Journal report in late 2009, early 2010, that Council Member Evans and Attorney General
Peter Nichols at the time,
were negotiating behind the scenes with JBG and Marriott to try to get rid of this problem so that the Convention Center Hotel could go forward. Now, at that point, his law firm still represents ING. He's recused himself because they represented ING. Yet here he is, back in the deal again to make sure it goes forward. Now, maybe those people who advocate for this hotel might say, well, it was for the good of the city, but it's also for the good of his client, his law firm's client. I mean, I suppose, Pete, that was a long way of answering that. Maybe a lot of the press can't grasp that it's, when somebody uses a city, has a city vehicle bought for them. Well, that's easy to understand. It doesn't strike me, though, that this is so hard to understand. Law says, must explain recusals. Jack Evans fails to comply with the law. Answer, Jack Evans is in violation of that law. I don't know what's so hard to figure out there.
I asked Mr. Evans in a follow-up question to his press person, Andrew Huff, who attended the last interview we did at Freedom Plaza. Even made a couple comments during the interview and afterwards said, oh, well, come to me about whatever questions you have. So I did. I asked, does Mr. Evans plan to file an explanation for his recusals on the Convention Center Hotel deal with the council chair, the Office of Campaign Finance, and the Board of Elections and Ethics? It was not a verbose answer. No. And we should point out, again, the significance of that. It's one thing to make statements of questionable veracity to the press. It is a very another thing to file a legal document which makes inaccurate statements.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, that's right. And it's sort of, again, at this point, other than sheer stubbornness or dislike for me, what's his reason for not complying with the law? I mean, he's got no valid reason whatsoever. And I believe he said to one of those reporters that opinion on ING, same thing, no conflict, case closed, as I said before. So it's, but yeah, no, that would be, as I said, he needs to, you would think that a person having gone this far with it, other than saying, I'm not going to give in to that so-and-so, that he would say, I'm just going to file it because my explanation is so innocent. I'll just put it out there for everybody to see. The two organizations that he blew off, and that he and Chairman Gray both blew off back in July of 2009, were the Federation of Citizens Associations and the Committee of 100, which I confirmed with them when I first began writing about this, that they never got a response. They raised a number of questions. When did, who's the conflict with? When did this conflict start? What were the circumstances? What does the party stand to benefit from this conflict, if any? They were very circumspect in their questions, and they got told they didn't really, by their silence. So I I don't know what this, whenever a thorny issue comes up, I guess if citizens raise a question about it, they should, and especially when it pertains to just complying with the law. This is not, you know, some wild accusation. He recused himself. He didn't follow the law.
Well, it's not a wild accusation. Again, the comments he made to you were pretty outrageous. And my next question to Mr. Evans' press person was, does Mr. Evans apologize for his comments to City Paper's Loose Lips about journalist John Hanrahan? Again, the answer, no.
Yeah, somebody I know happened to run into him at some event and asked him the same question a few nights ago. And he said no, and that I had been harassing him or something for a couple of years, and, you know, sort of along those lines. And I guess, you know, if you raise questions about somebody who's, you know, represents my ward, that it's considered harassment if you don't get an answer. And he just lets the matter, thinks it'll just die if he doesn't answer you.
And again, it has been several people who for some time were raising these issues, yourself and myself and some other citizens. But not only the City Paper, but I also want to read from the Washington Post weighing in here, Mike DeBonis. Again, online only, not in the all-important printed pages. DeBonis's piece is entitled, Turns Out Evans' Firm Has Ties to the Hotel Deal. And he writes, Evans confirmed today that Patton Boggs represented ING at the time. He said he does not consider that to be an actual conflict of interest because ING has no direct business relationship with the city on the deal, only with the developers. In my viewpoint, there was no conflict of interest, Evans said. They had nothing to do with the city, end quote. Your response, John Hanrahan?
Yeah.
And also any final thoughts that you care to share?
I haven't, you know, read the deal documents. I'm not sure I would understand everything in them in any event. But the reason that originally the city was going to put up all the money for this convention center hotel, which would have meant lesser profits for the developers, the Post and I think the Washington Business Journal both reported that the developers sort of welcomed the fact that they were able to put more money in so that they would have a bigger share of the profits. And ING, of course, ties right into that. If they're helping out the developers to get a bigger share of the profit, ING will get a bigger share for itself also. So as one of those reporters concluded, I mean, he is on both sides of the deal. His law firm is on one side, he's on the other. And I can't imagine this thought didn't cross his mind until the moment you and Dave Maloff raised it in testimony. But that required him to, or he felt he had to recuse himself at that point. So this definitely would benefit ING. Otherwise, why would they be in the deal? I mean, what sort of a business person is that? I'm just going to get in this deal to help out these developers. You're expecting more profits in any event. Yeah, so that's my only final thought is obey the law, Mr. Evans. Explain exactly why you recused yourself. And in the future, recuse yourself on various other deals and not take initiatives for clients or potential clients that conflict with your duties as a council member.
Thanks so much, John Hanrahan. And you can find John's work at NeimanWatchdog.org. And he's done a series of pieces on the occupations and had the police response and others. And you can check that out at NeimanWatchdog.org. I want to thank Mark Smith, who's behind the camera, as well as Will Martin, who helped organize all of this, and all the folks here at Occupy DC at McPherson Square on K Street. This entire interview, as the past interviews I've done with John, can be found at thefightback.org. Thanks.